let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this offering. God, we thank you for the tithe that was given. But we also thank you, God, for a group of people whose hearts are just bent toward you, that would have the audacity, God, to give back to you a portion of what you've so richly blessed us with. And so, God, I pray that the tithe and offering that is received today, I pray, God, that it's used for the very intents and purposes that it was given for, and that is to make your name great. And so, God, I just give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray, let everybody say amen. We are in a sermon series in the book of Nehemiah. And when you walked in, you were given one of these handouts. I want you to take these handouts, and over the next 52 days, as we go through this book of Nehemiah, there are prayers in here, there are devotions in here, there's spiritual disciplines. And so what we hope to accomplish with this is that we all are praying, we're fasting, and we're studying God's word. Why? Because our hearts are broken for what breaks God's heart. And so I want to take this time to give Sherry, if you can, give her a great big hand clap of praise. She took the time to put all of this together. So I'm going to challenge you that these don't end up in the seats. These don't end up in the front seat of your cars. That they end up where you take time out every day to study and spend time with God. And so we want to help you in that. So we put this resource together. All right? If we can, let's all stand. And as you stand, turn to the book of Nehemiah, the second chapter. We're going to continue where we left off on last week. So we're in chapter 2. We're going to hang out in verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 to get us started. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. All right. The book of Nehemiah, the second chapter and the first verse, it reads like this. And I'm going to read from the NLT version. It says, early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 12th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, he says, I was serving the king his wine. He says, I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, he says, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me, he says. He says, but you must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified, but I replied, long live the king. And he says, king, how can I not be sad for the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. The king asked, well, how can I help you? Let's throw up our Connect mission statement. I was going to say that this is going to be an exercise to see if it's this stuck. All right. 1, 2, 3. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to the throne of grace today, God. God, we just thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for being providential. We thank you for being sovereign. God, we just thank you. Thank you for just being the good, good Father that you are. And God, here we come, God, to sit around, to sit and study and fellowship around your word today, God. God, I pray that this word today falls on the good soil of our heart. That it doesn't fall on the broken, that it doesn't fall on the broken parts, God, that it falls on the good soil of our hearts. God, that our hearts might be, that our hearts, that this word today will bring back a harvest. And God, here I stand with one request and one thing only. God, I ask you to do one thing, and that is to wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for. And that is to make your name great. And so, God, we just give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. You may be seated. Kids, you are dismissed. There's one thing that I thoroughly enjoy. I really enjoy reading autobiographies and different, the autobiographies of different people. An autobiography or a book, it describes personal experiences of the author during his or her life. And as we continue in this sermon series, I really want us to take note of these personal experiences that this cupbearer for the king is relaying to us. As we look at these personal experiences, we're going to see, and hopefully you will pick up the treasures and the clues that we can apply to our life as we go through this book. To me, the book of Nehemiah, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to stewardship, when it comes to leadership, this book is probably one of the best books on the subject. And so the other day, someone reminded me of one of my favorite quotes. And I picked this quote up from someone else. It says, "Success leaves clues." And what does that mean? That means if you find somebody that's successful at something, and if you follow them, and if you follow them closely enough, you're going to pick up different clues of how they got to do or to be where they are in life. And I believe in this book of Nehemiah that he leaves us some treasures, he leaves us some clues, he leaves us some info that I believe can help shape Connect Church going forward. But not just Connect Church, but I believe the clues that we pick up is going to help us to build ourselves, it's going to help us build others, and it's going to help us build the kingdom of God. And so, I have this one question that I want to ask of you today. So this past week, our big sermon idea was, does what break your heart break God's heart? And I want to follow that up today with, what happens after what breaks God's heart breaks your heart? What are the next steps? Because sometimes we can get to a place or God has broken our heart about something, but then as time passes, it kind of slowly just begins to just fade away. We can watch the news and we can see different tragedies happening, and it pricks pricks our heart, but by the time we've gotten dressed to go to our jobs or wherever that we're going to go, we've soon forgot that incident, that tragedy that broke our hearts for just that split second. And so today, I want to share with you three clues in this book that will help us answer the question, what happens after God breaks your heart? Because we see in this first chapter, if you weren't here this past week, in the first chapter, we see that this cupbearer of the king is minding his own business. He is going about his life, and some people from his town, they come to see him, and he just inquisitively just asks a question. He says, how are the people in Judah? And they reported to him that Judah was not doing well, that the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down, and the gates had been destroyed by fire. And it so moved his heart, it so broke his heart that he went into prayer. And so today we're going to pick up on and we're going to look at what happens after what breaks God's heart, break your heart. And so if you look in chapter 2, verse 4, it says this. It says, well, the king asked, well, how can I help you? The king is concerned. He's standing before him because his face just don't look right. Have your kids ever come up to you and you can just tell by the look on their face that something just ain't right? That either they done something, they done said something, or something has happened, and you know that this is not how my child typically looks. And so the king inquires. But here's the first clue that I picked up from Nehemiah. Watch his response. He says, with a prayer to the God of heaven. He's standing before the king. And the first thing that Nehemiah does, and you're going to see this played out throughout this entire book, is that the first thing he did was prayed. And see, for some of us, we have to really take a step back and see when God really breaks our heart for something, what's our next step? What's the action? Do we just say that old Christian response? Wow. Do we just give that old Christian that look? But if what breaks our heart, if what breaks God's heart really breaks our heart, do we first go to God in prayer? God, why is this breaking? Why is my heart broken right now? Why is this touching me the way that it touches me? God, why is this affecting me the way that it affects me? And he says he prayed. And then he replied. Man, that's a clue right there. Do we speak before we pray? That would save some marriages right there. If we prayed before we replied to our husband or our wife. But then some of them talk so fast that you really don't have a chance to. All right, I'm going to change the subject. That was a, I don't know how that just, that leaked out. I don't know, because sometimes they talk so fast, you can't even pray. All you can do is just respond. I said, oh, I'm sorry. With the prayer, I replied, he says, and look at the humbleness. He says, if it pleases the king. If it pleases the king. And king, if you are pleased with me, your servant. He's prayed and now he's in this posture of being humble and he's asking the king. He says, king, if it pleases the king, and king, if my service has valued you in any type of way, he says, king, send me to Judah. Why? So that I may rebuild the city where my ancestors are. You see, when you take time to pray about a situation, and sometimes it's just a short prayer. Sometimes it's like, it's a prayer that you don't even have to say audibly. Sometimes it's just a prayer in your mind. You're faced with a situation and you can't just start praying right there audibly. But you can just pray in your heart and then respond. Because see, prayer is the proper response for when God breaks your heart, for what breaks his heart. Prayer is the proper response. But here's the penetrating question that I have for us today. Do your prayers only benefit you? Are your prayers always gimme, gimme? Or are you earnestly praying for your brothers and sisters here in Connect Church? Are you earnestly praying for the city of Arlington or wherever that you live? Are you earnestly praying for people in our congregation that are going through that have just suffered a loss? Are you praying for Connect Church in the situation that we're in now, that we'd have moved from owner to leaser? Are you really praying for us? Does it really, really break your heart that we're in this situation that we're in? Or do you have this mentality, well, the elders and the pastor and the staff, they'll figure it out. God's got it. You see, prayer will lead you to a proper response. And also, just ask yourself, do I always pray just for me? And so when God breaks your heart, I really want you to understand this clue that prayer is essential. Prayer is essential. And I told you this past week, I said, if you don't know how to pray, just pray God's word back to him. Pray God's word back to him. And watch what happens. But prayer is essential, but that's not the only clue that I've picked up on in this text today. The second clue that I picked up on, and I tell y'all, I almost missed it. If you check out verses, go back to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, early in the spring, in the month of Nisan. Now hold your finger there. And go back to the first chapter and the first verse. And in some translations, it opens up, it says, chapter 1, verse 1, it opens up, it says, these are the words of Nehemiah. And it says, it says that it was in the autumn. It was in the autumn time of the year. But here's the part that I almost missed. Is that if you see right here in chapter 2, verse number 1, it says early in the spring. But when God broke his heart, it was in the fall. Broke my heart in the fall. I come before the king in the spring. Here's the second clue that I picked up from this text. Is that Nehemiah, he prayed, but he also had patience. Because see, it was actually 4 to 6 months had gone by. See, sometimes when we read the text, we read as if everything happens boom, boom, boom. And sometimes when we pray, if we don't immediately see a response, or if we really don't get if God doesn't answer our prayers right then and there, some of us just move it along the side. Especially when it's concerning someone else. But when God has broken your heart for what breaks his heart, I'm telling you, when you pray, you gotta have patience. And that's a key element for us as followers of Jesus Christ. Everything don't happen just like that. Because sometimes I believe we forget God's timing. God's time is not our time. God doesn't operate in time and space as that like we operate. God is time. God is space. But when we pray, we sometimes want it to happen right now. And when we learn to pray and we learn to mix prayer with patience, I'm telling you, that's spiritual growth, that's maturity in God, because you come to understand that in God's time. Because God's timing is everything. Because sometimes we can get stuff too soon. For some of us right now, what was the big lottery? It was like 1.66 billion. Yeah, it was 1.6 billion. Can I say this? Now I know nobody in here plays the lotto. I just know it in my sanctified mind. I know nobody in here plays the lottery, so we're just going to assume that we're just going to go with that one, all right? If God was to bless you with that 1.6 billion, most of you, it would drive you crazy. I know what you're saying. I see it in you. He's like, yeah, I might be crazy, but I'll be rich though. But some of us can't handle certain things. I mean, it's certain things that has to happen within God's timing. And God's timing is essential. And so the other thing is with patience, patience helps us to respond and not always react. Patience will teach us that, how to respond. And if you, I keep going back to this, I don't know who this is for, but if you've been married for any length of time, you're going to, you've come to understand that I can't always react, that I have to respond properly. Amen? Well, I should have had a resounding amen on that right there. Because if you respond, that's all right. I understand. But you know, here's the great thing about God's timing, and it reminded me of this scripture in Proverbs, the 21st chapter in the first verse. It says this. It says the king's heart is like a stream of water, directed by the Lord, and he guides it wherever he pleases. You see, God's timing, and I didn't finish the scripture, so it says, early the following spring, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence, so the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? And he says, don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. He says, I was terrified, but I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? And then he says in verse 4 that the king asked me, what can I do to help? You see, 4 to 6 months had passed. But during this 4 to 6 month time frame, he continued to pray and he had patience. And then the third clue is this. Look at verse 6 through 8. It says, the king, with the queen sitting beside him, ask, how long will you be gone? When will you return? And look at his response. After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my response, to my request. The third clue that Nehemiah leaves us in this is that prayer is essential, patience is essential, but then look what he did this whole 4 to 6 month time frame. He planned. That's gonna go over somebody's head. For some of us, sometimes we're good at praying. And we're okay with being patient, but we don't know what to do in between. And there's this saying, I don't know if I came up with this saying, or if my friend over here, if he came up with it, I think it was him, but man, he used to tell me all the time. He said, man, act as if. He said, act as if. What do you mean, act as if? When God has laid something on your heart, when God has broken your heart for what breaks his heart, and you've prayed to God, and you know that God is a good, good father, and even when he hasn't answered the prayer yet, you act as if the prayer has all, and act as if the prayer has been answered. And that's the key that some of us don't understand, is you have to act as if. What do you mean, act as if? You start the planning. Like, man, when God opens up the door, I don't know how he's going to do it, but man, when God opens up the door, I'm going to be prepared. Okay? I'm going to show y'all how we do this instinctively. We have a lot of couples that are pregnant or have been pregnant here in the last year. I would see Facebook post after Facebook post. Oh, we're having a gender reveal. So they know what they're having. Next thing is they start to do what? Decorate the room. They painting it blue or they painting it pink. And then after they done that, what do they start to do? Buying gifts. They start planning. Well, I know my child is going to need some diapers. I know my child is going to need some Huggies. I know my child is going to need some wipes. We start to plan. But the baby ain't here yet. Oh, man, y'all go make me work. They are, when you are an expecting couple, when you are expecting something, what do you do when you're expecting? You act as if it's here. And we can do it here, but we can't do it spiritually, and we can't operate by faith. You see, I know the position that we're in now. When I'm driving down the highway, I'm looking at land. I'm acting as if. When I'm driving around, I'm looking for a place that we can convert into a center that we can use. I'm acting as if. But see, some of us don't understand. Well, I'm just gonna pray. Well, you know, the Lord said. Yes, the Lord said. But what are you going to do? And that's what I'm trying to get us to see as a church right now. We need to act as if. This ain't ours no more. I'm sorry, it's bad, but it's no more. It's not no more. It's no more. This ain't ours. And so, man, we got to start thinking and acting. Like, man, when we get to our new place, man, we're going to have a classroom. Man, I'm going to have a classroom for this. Man, we're going to have a gym. We're going to have a place for them to sew and this and the other. And, man, I'm going to have a place where my kids can come and pray. But we acting as if it ain't happened yet. We don't even have all the money yet. But if you wait till you have everything, you won't. Ooh, man, that was a principle that I was taught this principle years ago. You remember the story about the blind lepers. Or the, no, they weren't blind, they were lepers. And they came to where Jesus was. But Jesus didn't even lay hands on them. Jesus just spoke a word. And when Jesus spoke the word, the lepers, he told them, go back. And as the lepers were going back, they were healed. Oh, somebody. Here's the principle that I'm trying to get you to understand. God gives you more on your way than before you start. God gives you more on your way. All we got to do is just get started. And how do we get started? We act as if. We act as if we are building up others. We are impacting this community. Whatever it is that you are praying for, whatever God has broke your heart for, act as if God has already opened up the doors, that you have the right connections that you need, that you have all of the resources that you need. And the way that you act as if, you start to plan. And that's what he did. If you just pay attention to this, and hopefully you'll see what I'm saying. He said, the king agreed He says, I also said to the king, catch this, if it pleases the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates, instructing them to let me travel safely through the territories on my way to Judah. So he didn't just ask him, he didn't just ask the king's request, he also asked for a letter. And back in those times, you couldn't just freely just travel in and everywhere. You had to have a letter. But that's not it. Look at the 8th verse. It says, please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest. This is good. Instructing him to give me timber. How did he know he needed some timber? He planned. Then he says this. He says, have him give me timber. I will need to make beams for the gates of the temple forest and for the fortress for the city walls. Catch this. I know ain't nobody gonna pick up on this next one. He says, and a house for myself. Boy, that's gonna go. I'm not gonna go there. Then he says, and the king granted these requests. Please highlight this and underline this. I'm gonna take me a sip of water before I say this. Put in parentheses, because why did the king grant him all of this? Because what? It wasn't because he was such a great orator. It wasn't because he talked to the king a certain way. It wasn't because he was humble before the king. It wasn't because of any of that. What was the because? Why? Because of the gracious hand of God was on me. And I'm telling you, when you are about God's business, when what breaks God's heart breaks your heart, God's gracious hand is going to be with you. Man, I could really dig into that right now, but I don't have time. Y'all gonna have to come back next week. I'm gonna have to post a Facebook post just on this right here. Because here's the thing. For most of us, we've attained degrees, relationships, we've gone to certain specialty schools, and sometimes we can feel, or we can get into this place to where what we have is because of our own hands. I don't think we give God enough glory. I don't think we praise God enough for what God has done. Don't you know that all of this belongs to Him? All of this belongs to Him. And for God to give a portion of it to you, for you to take and to bless the kingdom, that's not of you. That's not of your own. That's because of God's hand on your life. And so here's what I want you to understand is that God is providential and that God causes hearts to be moved. And so as you are praying for Connect Church, as you are praying for us, as you're praying for the impact that we're going to make in this city. I pray that you pray this prayer. God, raise up people to use their power, their influence, and their ability to help Connect Church. Can you pray that prayer? Can I say this? We're not in a dire situation. We're in a good situation. But I know that God has something else in store for us. And we can't wait until we need it. We need to start now. And so I want you to pray that. That city officials, zoning officials, I mean, whatever we need, pray that God touches somebody's heart. And I'm telling you, not only is God going to bless Connect Church, but we are Connect Church. And so I just want you to understand this, that God is providential, that God is always at work. God is always moving. And here's the question. Will you join God in where he's at work? At this time, let's pray. Excuse me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today, God. We just thank you for who you are. God, thank you that these clues that we picked up on from Nehemiah, God, that these clues help us, God, that we tuck them away in our hearts, God. God, that you break our heart for what breaks your heart. God, that we understand that prayer is very essential. And God, your timing, God, is the right time. And so, God, as we're waiting on you, God, I pray that you give us the wisdom and guidance to plan properly, so that we know what we need. And so, God, as we're standing on this theme of 2023, let us arise and build. God, I pray that that's in all of our hearts, that we come together collectively, God, to make your name great. And so, God, we just thank you for everyone that's here today. I pray your choices, blessings on each and every person that's here. God, I thank you for our first-time guests that have come to today, God. Some have come from different sources, God. But God, we just thank you, God, that they chose to worship with us today. So God, I pray that we wrap our arms around them and be the arms and feet for you. So we just give you praise, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray.